This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 15th, episode 998. Whew, getting close to 1,000, Glenn. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
I don't know about y'all, but that weekend was way too short. Was it one of like super short? Was there something in the air? Like, what happened? I don't know. As Monday mornings go, I'm in here and I'm catching up on my reading, trying to see what the news is and what happened. And I've got some huge news I'll use for my daily winning. But I'm in here reading, and I'm not going to give the website. It's not important where I read it, but the article. Is how to catch a horse. Never chase your horse ever again. How to catch a horse. And I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be good. It's going to teach me some trick to like, woohoo, and they come running, you know. No, this whole entire article, Glenn, talks about take a feed bucket out into the pasture and shake it. Like, that's the whole study.
That, that's, you know, the magic.
Like people, that's the magic. Like, oh, duh.
Never thought of. I would have never done that.
Wow, I know. It's like science at its best. Okay, here's what you do. You walk out of the pasture, and you shake a feed bucket, and the horses eventually will come to you, and then you repeat it 5 times a day. 5 times a day? That's crazy.
Just some dumb horses.
Yeah.
My pony, after once, they'd be right there.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have anything in the bucket.
Exactly. Oh, here they come. It's to the point I don't even need the feed bucket. They see me, and when I walk outside, it's like a big, giant carrot has exited the house and is heading over to the pasture, and they all go, oh, here comes the carrot, and they all gallop to me. So thank you for the science, Mr. Horse Trainer Guy.
You spent a lot of money on that study.
I know, right? Oh, gosh. So anyway, there you go. That's my science for my horse training tip for the day. If you want to catch a horse, walk outside and shake it a bucket of grain.
Do you know, the neighbors here, right behind us, have three horses, and they have a couple big pastures. And the horses are always down hanging along the fence with our horses and during the day. But if they're down along the fence here and he comes out to feed, he whistles. He just whistles, and they go running. I mean, they tear off up there. So he's taught them the whistle method. He don't need no bucket.
Yeah. Well, when you're shaking the bucket, whistle. That's all you have to
do. Hey, look, we should commission a study. You know, $100,000. We could do a whole study on the whistling bucket method. We just added.
Oh my God. We're gonna make a million one of these days, Glenn. It's one of these ideas we have. I swear, but that's a great idea. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, once we have had a hilarious look at the weekend's horsey headlines, take a look at the long and wonderful history of tack and saddlery company called Harman Craft, and we'll find out how it got that different name. And then rounding out our Monday romp, the Wacky World Horse Station brightens the most untrustworthy day of the week. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. I have two daily winnies today. My first daily winnie goes out to our listener. You've heard her name before. Her name is Ellen. I think it's Ferranti. I hope I got that right, Ellen. She actually listens to us in Manhattan while she's at work. And she has contacted us and said she will be attending the Central Park Horse Show. Remember, we've talked about the fact that Donald Trump's bringing a horse show to Central Park. It starts Thursday and runs through Sunday. They're doing jumper classes, a big jumper class. It's a couple hundred grand. And they're going to have some top-name riders from all over the world. And, of course, Georgina Bloomberg will be there. And they're going to do dressage classes. Guy McLean's coming up to do demonstrations. They're going to have a polo match. It's just going to be a whole weekend of horses at Central Park. And Ellen said she's going to be there for a couple of the things, and she's going to come on next Monday and give us a report on it. So we'll have a report next Monday from one of our listeners on the show at Central Park. And if you want to do that, if you do something over the weekend, you go to a local show, even local shows, we don't care. We want to hear about everything. Or you do something unusual, or you go to an event or a clinic or whatever, let us know, and we'll get you on the air, and you can tell us all about it.
Awesome.
So that's next Monday. And I have another daily winnie. This daily winnie goes out to the 48 people from Poland who downloaded our app last Monday. I have no idea why we had 48 people from Poland in one day. It must have hit some blog or something over there. I tried to figure out why. I couldn't. So if you're listening to the show and you speak English, welcome. We're glad to have you here.
Okay, hold on. You ready for this? To all our friends in Poland, cześć.
What's that?
That's hello.
Oh.
And it's also goodbye. But more informally, you need to say, hey. That's an informal hi. Hey. But they spell it H-E-J. I would like to say good morning. So how to say good morning to our Polish friends. Dzień dobry. There we go.
There you go.
Your
thank
Polish
you,
lesson for today. I don't know
I
how they're listening
know
to this show.
That we were going to get so many lessons in such a short period of time.
With Tom, my Polish friends, brethren.
You know, that's
with
two
Tom
lessons in 6 minutes. I think we can just wrap the show right here. All right, we've done enough.
Vitam, so. I should say. Vitam, it means welcome. Vitam, welcome. I am so, I'm educating this Monday morning.
Yes,
man.
You are.
My daily. Vitam for our friend Black Caviar and her new little girl. It's a girl. Black Caviar safely delivered her filly this past, I guess, actually probably right about when we were doing our show, Glenn, on Friday, because the news broke right after our show. Of course, everybody always breaks news right after our show ends on Friday, so then I have to sit on it all weekend long. But she delivered the foal by Exceed and Excel in New South Wales, and it is her first baby, obviously. And just going over the stats, you know, they give you, like, all the details about Nellie is actually her barn name, Black Caviar's barn name. Just to remind you all how amazing Black Caviar is she retired undefeated in 25 starts. 25 and zip, baby. All 15 group one wins. That's an Australian record. So Vitam for Black Caviar's, remember, what does Vitam mean, Glenn?
I don't know.
Welcome. Way to pay attention to my Polish lesson. Jeez, it means welcome. With open arms to the little filly, and I'm excited to see what happens with her. Did you also see that Zenyatta's first baby has been doing works? Cosmic One is on the track.
Oh, cool. Very good.
Yes.
All we were seeing pictures of last week was the second baby.
Yes, Zyconic.
Zyconic, yes.
I know lots of pictures of Zyconic. Yes, it's iconic. And there's the new, you know, the new Philly cult. that is has yet to be named, but I hope they go with the whole Z as the first name theme. Cosmic One is a little off. I need the iconic type stuff, like a Z with a word behind it. I like that.
There you go. Well, I did see the picture of the Black Caviar's little baby, and it's really cute.
Oh, it's so really adorable.
Yep. Really cute. Well, not so cute was what happened over the weekend, and we've talked about this before, so let me set it up here. We're at a horse show. Which one was this? This was the one in England at
Burley.
Blenheim?
Burley?
That was one of them over the weekend, and Eventing Nation reported this and showed a picture of it. And what it was a picture of a horse taking a cross-country jump in an event, and there was a dog underneath the horse, also taking the cross-country jump underneath the horse's legs. And if you watch the video, if you go to Eventing Nation and you watch the video, you'll see that the dog actually hangs out with the horse for a while, comes down underneath the horse's legs, takes the jump, and follows the horse. So this brings up the question that we've talked about on this show before, but I think it's been a while. I think it was back when the dog bit Bruce Davidson's horse on cross country at Rolex a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Buck's horse actually. Yeah,
Buck's horse.
Drew blood, and it was bad. That was Blenheim, and it was the horse Artizic, and the rider was named Millie Dumas. So Millie Dumas went through the coffin complex, just to give you the rest of the story about that. She ended up having time penalties, and she's actually lodging, what's it called, when they, I forget the word.
But she's a point.
She's trying to get it the time penalties withdrawn, because she's blaming it on the dog.
Well, I don't blame her. She should.
Appeal.
By the way, she should get extra. She should get time taken off for just staying on the horse. The dog's running under the horse's feet.
So crazy.
This brings up the question that we've had in the past is, should dogs be allowed at horse shows and events? And now they asked this on Eventing Nation. They've got a ton of comments, but this is a roundup, and I want to hear what your opinion is, but this is the roundup, okay, of the thoughts that came out of social media, that they do a complete ban on all dogs at events. That a mandatory dog check where dogs will be cared for at a doggy daycare. So if you bring your dog, it has to go to the doggy daycare. Banning dogs at all cross-country at events. A harness collar check. In other words, now you've got to have volunteers that are checking to make sure the dogs actually have a lead in the collar. Charging admission price for dogs. I thought that one was interesting. The proceeds, which could be donated to a charity, like for dogs. And increase barriers between spectators and the galloping lanes or jumps. And then the other one I saw was that the competitors can bring dogs, but the spectators can't bring dogs. Well, you know, how do you figure that one out? So, I don't know. What are your thoughts? You've brought your dog to an event before, right?
I was thinking when you were saying that, I was like, I think it's only fair that competitors get to bring their dogs and leave your dogs at home if you are, going to watch Rolex or something. I think you're going to lose a lot of your spectators because people love to bring their dogs to that. But, you know, my experience was I had Brett, my little border collie, and we were at a horse trial here in Arizona, and a dog, loose dog, came up and attacked her, and she was laying at my feet. And this dog came up and jumped on her, a Rottie mix, jumped on her and attacked her and ripped her neck open. And, of course, I'm in the middle of nowhere in Arizona on a Saturday night, and so I wasn't able to get her attention until the next day, till when I got home. I did have the local horse vet look at her, you know, that's there, and he's like, you should probably get her to a vet. You know, I'm like, thanks, genius. I'm a huge keeping your dog on a leash proponent. My gosh, you know, that's how other dogs attack other dogs and attack people. And now that I have a kid, I'm like, it drives me crazy to see dogs just running around off a leash. However, I don't think that you need to punish, like, as a eventer going to these events, if I then had to hire somebody to take care of my dogs when I went to compete at horse trials, that's going to cause a problem for me because then I have to pay somebody to watch my dogs while I'm already paying to compete. And it doesn't seem fair to do that. But I don't understand, and I never have.
Yet, let me throw in there, though, that I'm going to play devil's advocate here, that a lot of the events I've been at, the ones that have been worst about leaving the dogs off was not the spectators, it was the competitors of having the dogs off a leash.
I believe that, and something needs to be done about that, and it's just not enforced a lot of times at many horse trials. But the other part of it is, you know, going to Rolex, never understood, never, why people wanted to put their dog on a leash and drag them through the tall grass all day long, going through the trade fair, millions of people, you know, hundreds of thousands of people walking around. You have to yank your dog and pull on him. They're tired, and then you end up carrying him. It just doesn't look like any fun to the dog. You know what I'm saying?
I know, because it is a long day. It, you know, if you're doing it for an hour or two, it's one thing. But when you're doing it for 8 to 10 hours, it's a different thing.
Yeah. And leave your dog at home. And my girlfriend used to bring her dog.
That I am always the one that steps in the dog, you know what. I am always the one that does that. It seems that it finds my shoes, or my shoes have a magnet for dog do. And it seems like I am always the one. In the big open fields there at Rolex, I'm the one that gets it every time.
Well, it's just that's karma for you. You need to cleanse your karma.
my opinion is different than yours. I think they should be banned. I think horse people are horse people. The horses are more important. They're going to come. I think they're going to find a way to deal with it. And it's like wearing helmets or anything else. After 2 months of being pissed off about it, you're going to learn to deal with it, and it won't be a problem anymore. And I read a bunch of the comments. If you go to Eventing Nation's Facebook page, I read a bunch of the comments. And one of them that I thought, the argument for making this actually have any legs at all, getting rid of the dogs at horse shows, is the one about safety. And the one person did post that. That it is unsafe. You know, it's just unsafe. And, you know, there were at Burley last week, just like your incident, there was a puppy that was attacked by a larger dog and killed it right there at Burley. They were both on leashes. So, you know, it was, you know, it's the kind of thing is, do you really want it? It becomes a safety issue when you have loose dogs. I think that horse people would find a way to deal with not having the dog alone, because there are places they go where they can't bring the dog. Where I think it would actually be tougher than with eventers is who do you see with dogs all the time, and especially little dogs, is the hunter jumpers. And they're always running loose because they're always Jack Russells running everywhere. I don't know. I'm kind of in favor of banning them on event, you know, on actual competition days.
Again, as a competitor, it would deter me from competing if I have to then spend a lot of money and try to find somebody to dog sit. So we take our dogs a lot of the times, you know, when we can, to the horse trials. And I get it. Like Brett, my old dog that I lost last year, I would not have gone to horse trial without her, because she was super easy and she would always stay by my side and she was happy being on a leash, whatever, no problem. I think there needs to be, like, the horse trial I'm going to in a couple weeks, they fine you. If your dog is loose, $50. Boom, right there. And you have to pay it. I mean, that's part of the deal. So I think, like, at Copper Meadows, where I was a couple weeks ago, there's dogs everywhere loose. You know, nobody got out on cross country, but it's a miracle it didn't happen. There's no enforcement of dogs on the leash at all. So I think each horse trial needs to be responsible. But these big horse trials, there's no reason, like Rolex or Burley or Blenheim, there's no reason to have dogs out there being yanked around on a leash, being almost stepped on by spectators for a whole entire day. It's not fair to the dog, and it's not, and that these dogs get loose, and people cannot be responsible for their own, you know, animals, and let's ban the dogs at those. I don't have a problem with that.
I did post I posted on Facebook to ask, you know, people's opinions about this, and the opinions are already started coming in, and Katie says they shouldn't be banned, but the owner should have a huge fine for letting the dog run loose. You know, the problem with that is, One, then the show has to have somebody running around finding people. Two is, how do you collect them? People just don't pay it. So now you've got to worry about collecting those fines. So that just creates a whole new bureaucracy in a horse show environment where they're already stretched thin to try and keep it going.
If you don't want to pay the fine, you can't come back. Like you have a on your name. There's a little, you know, Jamie owes $50, or she can't compete next time here.
Well,
so,
that's
yeah,
okay
you may not
if
get
you're
it.
A competitor, but if you're a spectator, how are they going to even, you know, how do you enforce that?
The spectator shouldn't have dogs. That's just the way it is. I think I agree with you there.
So you're for the riders having their dogs and the spectators not having their dogs.
Yeah, riders keep your dogs back at the barn. You're all sleeping here. You're staying here for several days. I understand you wanting to bring your dogs because then, like I said, I have to pay somebody to dog sit or pay to have my – most people would have to pay to take their dog somewhere and have them watched, and, you know, that's expensive these days. So competitors, bring your dogs. You're staying here for the day. People that are just coming to watch – leave your dogs at home. You're going home tonight. They'll be all right.
There you go. All right. Well, you know, I think I would agree with that as the first step, and then seeing, you know, how bad an issue it still is.
Yeah, there you go. It's a start.
Yeah.
It is a good idea.
I would agree with that. But at Rolex, I'm not too sure. At a venue that size, I'm not sure anybody should have dogs. Just because, and you know what? Eventually, if there continues to be issues, the insurance companies are gonna put their foot down anyway, and say, you know, no dogs, and then the organizers aren't gonna have any choice. So, I don't know. We'll see how that goes, and we'd love to hear your opinion if you want to post it on Facebook. On a happier note, I posted also a link up there to a website that has picked their top five horsey commercials, and three of them I had never seen before, and the first one is funny as heck. So if you get a chance, just stop by our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning and check them out. They're very funny. A couple of them I had seen before, but there were three of them I had not seen before. So check those out. And you know what? There's this thing on Netflix, and I wanted to know if you have ever heard of it. It's called BoJack Horseman. It's an adult cartoon comedy about a horse who is a washed-up sitcom star, and apparently it was so downloaded by Netflix in the first couple of episodes that they've just renewed it for a second season.
Did they? Okay, so I actually meant to talk about this a while ago, and we ran out of time. But yeah, it's Will Arnett, who was in he's in tons of stuff, and he's very, very funny. He is basically a heavy drinking ex sitcom star who like is human basically, but he's a horse. And I was wondering, did you watch it? Because I wanted to know if it was good.
I did. Did you? I was wondering if you had. Who's going to take one for the team, Jamie?
I'll watch it because okay. I love Will Arnett, and I think he's funny. And some of the parts of it, like the previews, looked funny. But the reviews have been very mixed.
But apparently they commissioned another round of 12 episodes, and it's animated.
Yay.
You know, right? Yeah?
Yeah, so it's animated, obviously.
Is it totally animated, or is there animated and people? Totally animated.
It's like a South Park or something like that. And it's an adult cartoon. It's not for kids.
The horse looks kind of creepy. I'm looking at the pictures here.
He's got a horse face, but it's like a human body. I mean, of course it's creepy. It's supposed to be creepy. It's a very bizarre thing. I was hoping it was good. I was hoping it was going to be something that, number one, you'd watch, which you probably never would watch since you are too busy watching that nerd show. And I'll take it for the team. I'll watch it and give you a – anybody out there watched it, please give us a call. Yeah.
You give us a report on BoJack Horseman. It's on iTunes – or Netflix, on Netflix.
I thought it was supposed to be actually on TV, but is it just – Is it just on Netflix?
I think Netflix bought the rights to it, and it's on Netflix. And Netflix is doing that with they have a lot of good series, actually, right now on Netflix. So, yeah.
We had some friends over last night, and they told us they don't have cable. They just do Netflix and Apple TV or something, and they don't even pay for his cable going away. Is that what's
There's a
happening?
Name for that. It's called cord cutting. There's a lot of cord cutters out there, and if you're clever enough, this is the problem I have with that. If you're clever enough, you can hook your computer up to your TV and all that, and you can probably watch any show you want to watch, finding it online. But it takes you like 25 minutes to find the show and then get it actually to sync up to the TV and then not have it buffer, which is the other thing. You know, buffering. Even when we watch Netflix, we get buffering. And we watch it through the Wii. But, you know, it just takes so darn long. But I only have a certain amount of TV time. I don't want to take that TV time trying to find what I want to watch and then watch it.
You know, it's funny you say that because we have the Netflix through the TV thing and we always quit because I don't know what I want to watch. So I end up having to look. And so I turn on the Netflix and I'm like, scroll down, 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 down. Oh, let's look at this topic, romantic comedies. And I click on that and then you like have to look through every, nah, I don't want to do that. So then you have to go to another and half an hour in, I'm like, Chad, I'm going to bed. I don't care.
I know. Glad I'm not the only one. I find it frustrating, too. Jennifer especially finds it frustrating. But, you know, apparently you have to do that to find the nuggets that you actually want to watch. And we have found a couple series that we watch on Netflix, and, you know, we have done that. But House of Cards I really like. That's a really good show on Netflix. But, you know, it really does take, you're right, to scroll through everything. And why is there 5,000 things and only about one thing I'd ever want to watch? Who watches the other 4,999?
The online Netflix thing is painful because they don't put their good stuff on it. You have to, like, pay for the higher subscription. So when you're looking for the online stuff, I'm like, who finances these movies? Like, and how are these people paid actors and I'm not? Like, how did they get a role? You know, and did they think when they got that role, are they like, I have made it, and it's like the worst show ever? You know, I mean, really, there's some terrible movies out there. Terrible movies.
There is. There really is. Well, before we get to our interview that we had a chance to do a while back, and I want to share with everybody.
Jennifer has a comment. Jennifer, I heard her jump in there.
What's that?
We tried to watch one of those movies that was like, really? They paid money to make this over the weekend.
What
movie? Outlander. Wow. Oh,
that was awful.
Yeah.
That
and it made money at the theater. It was really wow.
Yeah. I know. It was bad. It had big names in it and everything.
Really? My husband loves sci-fi, and every once in a while he'll click on a sci-fi. Let's try this one. And I mean, seriously, 5 or 6 times, I'm like, 10 minutes in, you have to turn this off. This is terrible. There's usually not real actors in it. There's like, you know, those people you never see again that have just left porn and are trying their first serious role. So this one actually had real actors in it, Jennifer?
Yeah, it did. Had real name actors in it. You know, there's two genres of movies that they can get away with making B and C and D movies, and that's horror and sci-fi. For some reason, horror and sci-fi audiences will sit through anything. You know, it doesn't matter because they keep making them. Somebody's watching them.
Outlander.
It's not ours, apparently.
Outlander. Now, it had some cool horses at the beginning.
Yes, it did.
That's what sucked you in.
Guess what breed of horses it had? Yeah. Sci-fi movie set in the it went retro. It was a time travel thing, which I kind of sick of time travel movies too. But so it went back to Viking time. And what kind of horses did it have, Jamie?
Frisians.
Yes, it did. It appears that Frisians were the only horses that ever existed pre-1800. That's the only horses that were around. Were Frisians.
They're on the road trip because they have to go find the bad guy. So they're all get on their beautiful Frisian horses to go find the bad guy. And about 4 scenes into this road trip aboard their horses, the horses all magically changed to something else. They weren't riding the Frisians anymore. They were riding generic horses.
See, now let me tell you something right now, you guys. When I read the storyline, I would have never clicked on it to watch it. Here we go. In 709 AD,
In the Iron Age, a spacecraft crashes into the Viking kingdom of Norway, and a pilot, Kanan, survives, and he turns the beacon on, learns the language and the culture of the planet using a machine, finds the predator Morin that he was transporting, had escaped. While chasing the alien monster, he finds a village completely destroyed and is arrested by the warrior Wolfric. Believing he killed the locals, Kanan is brought to Herod as a prisoner. Yeah, I never, ever would have thought to click on that.
Chad might have.
Yeah, but Jim Caviezel was in it. Yeah, and when you said celebrities were actually in it, that was a stretch. I've never heard of Jim Caviezel I've heard of, but then Sophia Miles, Jack Huston, John Hurt, Cliff Saunders, Patrick Stevenson, those are not real actors. Those are ex-porn actors.
Yeah, well I got to tell you, the female that was in it, she made the movie worth watching for about 15 minutes. But even her, I just couldn't continue then with even
no.
her in it. The ex-porn
actor. Call it Beowulf meets Predator. That's terrible. That's terrible. Oh,
hey, but
move
on. And it wasn't even me. Jennifer picked this one. So there you go.
Go Jack Horseman. You're better off.
Hey, Wednesday, we have some fun stuff to do on Wednesday. We will be playing Celebrity Trivia on Wednesday, but because it is our 1,000th episode, we decided to go back in time and see who the guests were on episode number one. And funny enough, none of us remembered, so we had to go look. And we discovered that the two first guests were Gina Miles, of course, the Olympian eventer from out in the West Coast, who beat Jamie in last week's show, and also Jessica Phoenix was on, and ironically enough, Jessica was on talking about an incident that happened to her at the 2010 WEG. That's how long ago we started the show. So Gina and Jessica were both on. Jessica's an eventer out of Canada. So I asked them both to come back for the 1,000th episode and play Celebrity Trivia against each other, and this is the battle of eventers. So we have an eventer from the United States versus Canada. So it's the battle of the countries on Wednesday. Should be a lot of fun. Those two are a lot of fun, and they're going to be playing against each other. So they kind of a retro back to our episode number one here on Horses in the Morning, which was
Woo-hoo!
November 1st, by the way, 2010. Am
wow.
I right? Yeah, November 1st, 2010. So we're at, almost 4 years. Can you believe we've been doing this for 4 years?
November's going to be 4 years? Are you sure? No.
Jennifer, could you check, go back to episode one and check? Well, I'm pretty sure it's 4 years. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But
every time we talk about how long I've been doing the show, my husband always says, "I swear I didn't think you'd make it past 2 weeks." He's like, "What are you going to talk about?" He's like, "You're doing a radio show about horses. Aren't you going to have talked about all of it after like 2 weeks? There's nothing else to say." He's like, 2 weeks I thought was a stretch. Wow. Thanks, babe.
I don't think either one of us were sure we'd make it this long.
No, probably not. Probably not. I do appreciate the job, though. So thank you, horse people, for being
here. And
so
we're glad
to
have you here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
I'm trying to figure out here. Jennifer, did you find it yet? I'm pretty sure.
I'm working on it. There's this, unfortunately, this stupid website that some yutz designed. You can't go to the first episode without clicking through about 13 pages. Tell them to fix that.
You know, I saw that the other day when I was trying. I don't know who designed a website, that jerk. But I saw that was a problem the other day when I was trying to do it, too. I don't know exactly how to fix that. When we have
live, here we go. This is it.
Yes?
It was November 1st, 2010.
I thought so.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're at almost 4 years.
We're
going into our fifth
older?
Year. Yeah, I am. Actually, I am feeling older in many ways.
All right. Well, we would like to get to our sponsor so we can get to our first interview. And we're running late, Glenn.
All right. Right after this word from Omega Alpha Equine, we are going to hear from Raj Mohan, who is the president of Harman Craft. Now, Harman Craft makes a lot of the products that you'll know, Aramis. They make Americana. And he is from India, and these products are made in India. And we had a discussion, not necessarily about his products, but how how his company started back in the 1800s and what's happened with the making of tack in India through the ages. And he talked, and he's very candid about talking about, you know, how Indian tack got a reputation for being real crap and why that happened and what's changed and what's happening now. And he was pretty honest about all that stuff. And, you know, Harmon Craft does make some good stuff, and we own some of it. And I'm sure you do, too. I mean, everybody has bought some Harmon Craft at one time or another. It's a very interesting interview, and it's a lot about India and Indian culture, too, in the tack and leather world. So let's take a listen to that right after Omega Alpha Equine.
Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And I have on the line here Kyle Carter, who is an international eventer and well-known throughout the eventing world, who uses Omega Alpha products. Kyle, I understand that you started using Omega Alpha about a year ago.
Yeah, I've been using it for about a year and have noticed a remarkable difference in the horses that have been on it. And then if they come off of it, the horse's health always has been better on it. It's one of the few supplement companies that I wholeheartedly believe in.
Well, thank you, Kyle. You know, Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. Look for all of their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca. Well, hi, Raj. Thank you for joining us here today. We really appreciate it.
You're most welcome, sir.
You know, everybody has bought from Harmon Craft for the last 20 years, and, you know, we all buy our products from you guys, and we see it. But we thought it would be really neat to get a little bit behind the scenes and find out who is Harmon Craft, how did they come to be, and you know, where do the products come from? And, it, of course, there's a long history, isn't there?
Yes, it is. I'm directly third generation since the time this business was established by my grandfather, whose name was Shyamlal, in India.
What part of India?
It's northern India. He was settled in a place called Ambala, A-M-B-A-L-A. And that was between two summer and winter capitals of India during the British time. So this was the big cantonment where this establishment was. And we used to have shops in Shimla, which was summer capital. That is a hill station. We call it hill station, but those are mountains at almost like 7,500 feet above the sea level.
Was it a tourist place at that point?
I think
the British come over.
The Britishers, they established this place.
Yeah,
you know, they liked these mountains, and those were all very pretty mountains. You know, and they established their summer capital there, which was something else, you know. And from the plains, they took a train, you know, and it went through 103 tunnels.
Oh, wow.
But they did it, you know. Yeah, it was really neat. And then New Delhi was the other capital, winter capital. So 6 months in Delhi, 6 months in Shimla. And Ambala was in the center, you know. So we had three establishments, my granddad, Ambala, Shimla, and Delhi. He started this company in 1880, which is...
1880?
1880,
wow.
Yes, which is pretty old, yeah.
Now, did he
what
start out making,
making
horse
yeah.
products?
What were they making?
Yes. Harnesses as well as, you know, harness and riding
Because, of course,
equipment.
Back in 1880, everything was horse
everybody
drawn.
Had
yeah,
harness.
Everybody had a horse.
Yeah. He used to have a horse buggy himself. And that was the time when they were using all these horse buggies, you know, and harnesses. And also, he was making travel goods, you know.
Luggage.
Luggage, yeah. Yes. During that time, you know, it was like by sea travel, you know, so cabin trunks. And
oh,
the big,
so really
the big
cool
trunks.
Fancy
luggage.
Luggage.
Yeah.
Which are worth a lot of money today if you can find one in good shape.
Yeah. And the only place where I can see something like that is Louis Vuitton, you know, with that's expensive. So I'm trying to revive that industry back again, you know.
The
I'm working on
the luggage
right now.
Industry.
Yeah.
Getting away from the plasticky stuff that we see
no
today.
No more Samsonite.
Yeah.
Boycott Samsonite.
Well, you know, when Samsonite came, you know, it was like any new product, and it was well accepted. It was lightweight. You know, people had started traveling with the in the planes, so they wanted lightweight luggage. So then zippers came, you know, zip industry. But I still remember all those seven-piece luggage, you know. And we used to have expanding suitcase, you know. There was a company in England called Cheney, which were making their locks, which would expand. And the backside also, you know, they would expand. So it was really nice seeing something like that.
Now, you were telling us yesterday that you guys used to also make stuff for the like the royal family and for the British would be shipped over there.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. My father, he spent all his life into this trade. He was pretty business-minded. I mean, you know, he really worked hard all his life. But Shyamlal was my granddad's name, and everybody else knew my father as Shyamlal because nobody knew his real name, you know. So it's kind of, I'm blessed to have had him as my father. And I've named my company after his initials, you know, HK, you know, so that's
okay.
Harman Craft.
Gotcha.
With K. Yeah.
Okay.
So his name is, to me, it's still alive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He really worked hard. And, yes, they were supplying to the Britishers. We were the official saddlers, you know, so-called. You know, English term is saddlers, you know.
For tack,
yeah.
Or what we call
tack,
yeah.
Tack and harness.
Yeah.
And also to the travel goods, you know. You know, a lot of travel goods. We were selling them as well as to most of the Indian monarchies, you know, small kingships and...
I love that, small kingships.
Yeah. So
in America,
because,
you go, really? There's a small kingship?
Because there were a whole bunch of them, you know, different states, different kings, different, you know.
It was the same in China, wasn't it? It was that kind of same way where they were all the small at that point.
Yeah. I still remember a few of them, you know, from Jaipur, Maharaja Jaipur. He was a polo player. He died in London, actually, playing polo, you know. But his son and his dad and, you know, I've seen a few in my life.
So at what point did you see the family business make that transition from creating workman's harness and travel goods and the business we know today where you make all types of English strap goods? If there's a piece of harness that goes on a hunter jumper, you guys make it. When did that transition begin?
I think right from the beginning when we were making all these harnesses was the first thing, you know, and then came India has also a long history of playing polo, you know, and some people say that it was established in India, you know. But so polo equipment was also, we were kind of pioneers in that. And then these jumping and riding and show equipment and all that, you know. So I think you change along with the time. What is needed, you know, it is not. I'm here in the United States since 1977, and I've seen so many changes, you know, in the tack itself, in the saddles. Now they become so much scientific. I'm a saddle maker, by the way, you know, and English saddle maker. I tried few saddles here, but saddle is something so people think that it is such a such a thing, just like cars. You know, they want to own some names, and as far as the saddle business is concerned, you know, they want to have brands, and I could never establish that for a saddle. But in bridle work, I think. We are pioneers, you know. Nobody makes better bridles than us. And we make it for ourselves. You know, our lines are Aramis, Americana. We worked with Isers for about maybe 15 years or so.
We were in the business back then.
Yes. And
heady time.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I've seen many, many people come in and go in this industry.
Do you think, because there, I don't know, this is not a secret, do you think that, because there was a period of time, and this was a while ago, that goods coming out of India were not considered here in the United States to be good, to be quality. And now I think that's changing, don't you?
Not at all. Absolutely, yeah. You're right, you know. I mean, those were, because the thing was that a whole new generation in India just, they came in within no time. They did not, they hardly had any knowledge about the real bridal leather, so-called, you know. And they were using all sorts of cheap leathers. And that brought the name, very bad name for saddlery industry.
That
know,
had to be
India.
Tough for you, for the guys who were actually making the good stuff to compete against that crappy stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. You know,
yeah. The blanket opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I assume that they sort of weed themselves out, go out of business and sort of weed themselves out after a period of time.
Yeah. But now I think the things have changed and many people are doing a good job in India. People started using English leather. I think, as far as I remember, I'm the one, you know, who started using American leather, and we shipped it to India to our factory. We made our stuff and brought it back here, and that became very successful. And then English leather started going to India. So it's a long history, but now things have changed. You know, again. Some people are doing very good job, you know.
You don't have to work quite as hard as you used to at that at the battle about Indian goods. As you did.
No, but I think even now we still battle because somehow unfortunately within India there's a lot of competition between the manufacturers, and then they have to cut corners. And then if because of that competition in price, you know, people have to use substandard material, you know, and it hurts the industry so many times because you're also taken as one of the Indian manufacturer, you know. So, but I think with God's grace, we have, you know, earned a good name for ourselves, for our brands.
Well, of course, you can find these products that have been made since 1880. You can find them in your local tack shops. Arm & Craft is pretty much everywhere. Thank you so much for giving us a little background on the company and what it's been like to be part of a three-generation company in India.
Thank you so much. Again, my main brands are Aramis and Americana.
Love that Americana stuff. That's my favorite.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
And that was Raj Mohan, president of Harman Craft. I hope you found that interesting, a little bit about India and what happens over there and the making of tack. Well, coming up next, we're going to have a song, and this is actually a request. Jamie, we had a girl by the name of Jessica who lives in Indiana drop me an email and says that there was a song she heard a long time ago, so she must have been listening for a long time, too, because I don't think we've played this for years. She said it was about cleaning stalls, and apparently Jessica, gets this, cleans 35 stalls a day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know what? Anybody who cleans 35 stalls a day, you want to request a song, I'll play it for you. I hope she's using a flex and fork or a shake and fork or both. I hope so. If not, Jessica, you need to buy one, equitymfg.com. This song is Clean Installs by Marianne Kennedy right after this word from easysignsonline.com. This week's spotlight product from easysignsonline.com is their outdoor silhouette cutouts. Made from a long-term outdoor durable vinyl aluminum material, these cutouts will outlast the old-style painted wood ones by many, many years. A great way to add an equestrian image to your barn, horse stalls, mailboxes, houses, or campers. Choose from dozens of equestrian or animal graphics online, available in two different sizes starting at only $59.95. And remember, free shipping on most orders over $100, all at easysignsonline.com. Get your silhouette cutout today.
let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation, sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls. Contemplate the problems in the big city. It makes me feel sad. It makes me feel pity. I'm grateful for this life I lead. As I pet the cat and kiss my gelding's cheek, I fluff him up and lick him clean. Makes me healthy, keeps me lean. The smell of manure and sweet grass. What a beautiful way to start your day. All life's problems seem so small when I'm cleaning stalls.
Yeah, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And, yeah, it has been a while since we played that song. That's one of the Marianne Kennedy songs that I do like. Not that I don't like Marianne Kennedy. It's just that sometimes she can be it can be difficult. So I like that song, Glenn. I know you thought you were going to bother me with that one. But
I did. I thought I was going to get you on a Monday morning with that.
And I'm hoping that that Jessica in Indiana is happy that we played it. And I hope that... You know, the one thing I started thinking about in that song, though, is when she says she never feels as tall as when she's cleaning stalls. I feel small and weak when I clean stalls. I do.
I think after 35, I'd be feeling low and dead.
Yeah.
Jessica, kudos to you. I don't know that I could clean 35 stalls in a day. No wonder if she listens to our show. You'd need to do something. So my ADD would kick in at about stall number 4.
Yeah. My back would hurt. Like, that'd be a mess. That'd be a mess. So, Jessica, the least we could do is play you a song.
That's hard work. Hard work. You know, there were some guys that used to go around when Jennifer had the barn up in Mexico, or up in Massachusetts, and some of the Mexican guys would go around, and that's all they'd do. They'd get paid per stall, and they would clean stalls all day. Some of those guys would clean 50, 60, 70 stalls a day. I would just go to the different barns, clean stalls. And, you know, at $5 a stall, they didn't do bad. You know, it wasn't a bad gig.
No, no kidding. $5 a stall. That's pricey.
This is Massachusetts. What do you want?
Hey, we are getting some awesome response on our Facebook page. First of all, my daily scientific poll, I said, do your horses come when you call them, run away from you, or make you walk all the way out to get them? How do you catch your horses? And then we got in like 37 comments about the whole thing. And some people are like me, the horses come when they see them. Some people look like a giant carrot as well. And I did love, let me see, I'm going to find the, Dawn Beam said that she's owned her mare for 16 years and she still won't come when I call her. She says she pretty much gives me the middle finger and walks the other way. However, she'll walk right up to other people. That's hilarious. Yeah,
Dawn,
I've had a horse
that
like that.
Up there, Dawn?
I know. Oh, God, here she comes. Let's just pretend you don't see her. Pretend you don't see her.
Nobody else rides her horse, which is why she walks up to the other one.
Exactly. My horse used to, my old thoroughbred that I had for 18 years, he literally would go to anybody else but me. I'm like, really? I'm going to pay for your board at this facility, you big jerk.
You know what amazes me is, and okay, get ready to play it. You know what amazes me is with My Little Pony, when we go outside, half the day he gets a muzzle on. So we go outside, he's out in the field eating grass, and he still walks all the way across the field to get his muzzle on because we put one horse cookie in his muzzle. And I don't think he's realized that to get that horse cookie, he has to give up a half a day of eating. It still doesn't think it's dawned on him yet.
It's totally worth it, though. It's totally worth it.
My Little Pony. I did that just to give you a chance.
Sure you did. It was just that's the way you talk.
And then the other one about the dogs. Yeah.
Here we go. This is for Dawn Deems, okay? Let's see. Come on.
See, there are some horses even God can't help.
Sorry, Dawn. We get it.
The other one, the post about the dogs, got a lot of comments, too.
Did it?
Yeah. I'm surprised that most of them said don't ban the dogs. Most of them said that. Now the one here said, and I wish I could find it right now off the top. There's been so many, but the one said that at the reining events she goes to, Diane said this: do not ban dogs. Many reining shows will put loose or unattended dogs in doggy jail, and the owner has to pay the fine to get them out.
Ooh,
I love
I like
that.
It.
That's even better.
Yeah. I'm on that page right there. You bet.
That?
You won't be letting your dog loose.
Yeah,
and
because
then
you know what
some...
I said, it solves that problem of collecting the fine.
Yeah, that's a good
well,
point.
You can't get your dog back unless you pay your fine. Simple.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have let him out. Shouldn't have let him run around. Go ahead.
I think I know at the crux of so many horse folks commenting that the dog should not be banned. Because we have to keep in mind that Glenn is still a horse husband. He's really not a horse guy. He's a horse husband. And all of us real horse people know that the likelihood of our horse spooking and dumping us is just as likely if a squirrel trots by or a flower blooms as when a dog runs under them.
There are a couple people that, because of dogs that have commented that because of dogs, they ended up in the hospital or injured for a long period of time. So, there's some horse people that don't agree with that either.
And she did, I do think, too, that squirrels don't bite your horse's ankles. Neither do flowers.
You haven't met the problem with
squirrels. We have some pretty aggressive squirrels here.
Yeah, we have pretty aggressive squirrels. They might just do that here. A lot of good comments there. Interesting. Well, let's head off to our next guest here. And she, of course...
Horses, the ultimate frontier. B. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
Yes, Leslie Wiley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. How's it going?
pretty well. Another interesting week at the Horse Nation. You just never know what's going to happen next around here.
You guys have got so many now we had talked about this on our show, actually, and I hosted the co-hosted the Jumper Radio Show, okay? And
okay.
In the Jumper Radio Show, we were discussing how Mary-Kate was at the Hampton Classic. And I was fascinated. I didn't know that Mary-Kate was a rider. And I was curious on how she did. You know, I'm not one of the rip, you know, everybody off and berate everybody who does well and is successful. But so many tabloids love to do that. I was reading on Horse Nation that one of the tabloids, the title of the article is Mary-Kate Olsen Screwed by Horse at Equestrian Show. What is that about?
Oh, yeah, and here's the lead sentence. Bad news for Mary-Kate Olsen at a big equestrian show in New York this week when her horse refused to jump during one of the events, leaving her with a big, fat zero on the score sheet. I don't know. Her horse, like, stopped at a fence, I guess.
Yeah, that horse should be shot. It's screwed, Mary-Kate, stopping at a fence. Oh, my gosh. But you guys had a list of the ridiculous headlines that came from this this poor girl has not been on a TV show in 25 years. Granted, she is like a clothing magnet, but she was a baby on a TV show. And
yeah,
she is like,
yeah,
such a – people just hate her. Like, I don't get it.
Oh, yeah, and it's so exciting, you know, to see her on a horse. I think we'd had heard some rumblings, you know, that she might be doing back in the show ring. I think one horse, she wasn't riding it, her trainer was riding it, but it won at the Hampton Classic last year. And but it was, you know, I don't know if you saw some of these pictures, but she's like jumping, you know, some real fences, like 3 foot.
Yeah.
3-3 fences. So, but of course, you know, so the tabloids jumped all over this. Let's see, the headlines were super. Mary-Kate Olsen, a horse jockey now?
That is a non-horse person. Because all people that ride horses are jockeys.
Yeah, Mary-Kate Olsen gets bougie with fiancé Olivier Sarkozy in Hamptons, flaunts engagement ring, horse, and bitches boho chick for new preppy look. As
like,
if she just like was like, I'm going to be a preppy horse rider now. No.
Well, you know what? She can afford to be. Do you know what the net worth of the Olsen twins is with their successful businesses now with the clothing and stuff?
They
just published this last week. Any guess?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
I have no idea.
$300 million.
Oh my
gosh.
Wow.
And they both look like they need to eat more. I got to tell you, they still look too thin. And I know that one of them had issues and stuff. But in the helmet, Mary-Kate looks like she's about 9. I know all people look younger in the helmets, but she looks about 9.
They are little tiny girls. I don't know how
yeah.
tall they are, but they are little teeny tinies.
I'm looking for the article that you, because you guys list a ton of the article, and oh, here it is. What better way to prep for a long weekend of horsing around than with these photos of Mary-Kate Olsen looking terrified on horseback? She looks terrified.
She looks like she's concentrating.
I swear. Like, everybody's like, you want to look at some terrified faces of Mary-Kate on a horse? She looks terrified. I'm like, no, she looks 12, and she looks like she's concentrating.
Yeah.
And I want to be the author of that article, Jump 5 Foot Fences. Let's see how
you
do that. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, she just decided to show up doing this. Now, we'll get to it. She's actually been riding for quite a while, but I just have one more, and this makes you realize just how stupid People magazine is, okay? There's a photo, and I know it's People because I can tell by the font because I read People every once in a while. So there's a photo.
Thank you for
Mary
being
Kate,
honest.
Yeah, you know, I had to do what you got to do. There's a photo of Mary-Kate that is jumping a significant fence, and she's jumping it at speed, you can tell, mm-hmm. because the horse's hind end is really kicked. I mean, it's a big fence, like you said, 3'3". This one could be 3'6", I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the little caption next to it is, a designer doing dressage? Yep, that's Mary Kate Olsen taking a leap at the Hampton Classic Horse Show. That's not your thought.
No. You would think that, I don't know, for People magazine, you would think they'd have like a fact checker on staff.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We know that's a horse like word, but maybe we should look into what it actually is.
Well, it's like they watch Stephen Colbert, you know? Stephen Colbert, the horse riding is called dressage, and the person riding it is a jockey.
Yeah.
Jockeys ride dressage.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, you did a little more research on her life, and I didn't realize this, and I remembered it by reading this article, Leslie, that in an episode of Full House, Michelle fell off her horse and got amnesia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was actually like the finale of the entire show. So, yeah, she falls off her horse. She gets amnesia. So, it's this excuse for the whole family to, like, sit around and, like there's all these little flashback sequences to, like, you know, highlights from the show. I love Full House so much.
I do too. I'm sorry. Danny Tanner is like the best TV dad ever. Sorry.
My husband and I are going to San Francisco in a couple weeks, and I'm like, can we go to all the Full House places?
When you see that bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, I mean, the theme song just goes in your head, doesn't it? I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Wake up, San Francisco. Sorry. That was Danny Tanner's morning talk show, Glenn. Morning TV show was called San Francisco. Sorry. We're total, like, we're showing our age here as 30-somethings, Leslie.
Yes, but yep.
I think I missed that whole. I think I missed that. I think that was, you know, I don't know. I missed Full House.
You weren't a 10-year-old girl, is what
no,
the thing is.
I was
yeah, this is like the highlight of the week.
Yeah.
Every Friday
Full
night.
House is on. Full House is on. Everybody, come on. Shh.
Hold on,
commercial.
TGIF.
There were still only 5 stations back then, so I'll forgive you for watching.
When you were a 10-year-old girl, there was only 5 stations. So that was the series finale was when she fell off a horse. That's
mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting a little emotional right now. Okay. So she actually was in some other shows and has been riding forever. So Mary-Kate, good on ya for doing dressage like a jockey on at the Hampton Classic. So now I know that you actually found some bizarre games on horses.
That's what I really like.
Yeah, you would, Glenn. So, you know, the World Equestrian Games just wrapped up last week, but the World Nomad Games kicked off this past week. The World Nomad Games is it's like a 5-day event. It takes place in a country that I cannot even pronounce.
That's Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah, Kyrgyzstan.
Whatever. Yeah.
Jake's husband's probably flown an airplane there at one point or another.
Pretty sure.
Kyrgyzstan. Yeah.
Yeah, so the goal is to sort of celebrate nomadic, the region's nomadic heritage, and horses, of course, were a big part of nomadic life. And but they have all of these bizarre horse games, mounted games on horseback. The one that caught my eye first was it's called girl chasing. And basically, there is a young woman. I think she's 16. The one from last or in this games, very pretty, all dolled up. And her job is to boys. So a boy like sets off to chase her. If he catches her, he gets to kiss her 3 times. But if she escapes, she gets to whip him 3 times.
What?
I'm not kidding you. They interviewed her, and the BBC went over there and did sort of a profile of the
seems like a fair
of the
trade.
Games. And she says, I have whipped boys many times. I love it, and it makes me feel very much like a nomad.
And you know what this says a lot about guys. Guys are willing to get whipped for the chance to kiss a girl.
Wow. And that is only the beginning. There are several other interesting mounted events.
Tell me about, let's see, Coke Buru is a team game. Tell us what Coke Buru is.
It is a team game that uses a dead goat as a ball.
Hold up. I thought I was reading that wrong or it was a misprint. They use their ball in the game as a dead goat.
Now, I don't know. I know it's hard to wrap your head around.
They use the head.
We included a link to a photo gallery that may help you visualize this.
If you want.
If you dare.
Why is that guy on fire?
I think this is like a demonstration. I don't think this is actually one of the contests, but yeah. But, I mean, good question still. Why is the guy on fire? The guy is, like, on fire, and he's galloping on a horse.
You would not. Don't look at these pictures, Jamie. You will not approve of most of these events.
Oh, my God. That's a dead goat.
Don't look at these events. Don't look at them. You don't need to look at these pictures.
Don't.
You need to have a warning.
Walk away, Jamie.
Have a look at this photo gallery.
Yeah. other contests are, there's a tie-in MI, which is picking up a coin while riding a horse at full speed. Like, I don't even know how that works. How does that work?
Well, you know, we talk about horseball, which was, they had it at the WEG this year as a demonstration sport, right? Right, Leslie?
Yeah.
We love. Well, we have guests that come on all the time from Canada, friends of ours that are horseball players. But when they first started playing horseball back in the old days, they used the goat's head. That's what they would use as a head, and that's what they used for a ball. They didn't have a ball, so they used the head. So they used to throw the goat's head around playing horseball.
Right.
You guys are so
man.
Love the last sentence of this where you wrote, it's all very Vladimir Putin-esque.
Like, I know that he has nothing to do with this, the games, but it seems like something he would approve of or enjoy participating in. Just like wrestling on a horse. That seems so up his alley.
The best one is still the girl getting to whip the guy. That's still the best.
That's still the best, yeah.
This is what Chad would say when he talks about it. He'd be like, that's what they do in the stands. So the stands are Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, you know, Pakistan, yeah. Afghanistan. Like, those are all the stands. And he's like, oh, those are the stands. Like, he's been to Pakistan, so to talk trash about him. Oh, my God. That's disgusting. All right, and finally...
I hear you're going to do a dramatic reading of poetry for us.
Yes, one of our writers, Amanda Ronan, a very talented poet, as it turns out, wrote a poem last week called 10 Things I Hate About Horses. And I would love to do a dramatic reading for you guys, just for you guys.
We're ready.
We're ready.
Okay, here goes. 10 Things I Hate About Horses. I hate the way you poop all day. I hate the price of all that hay. I hate the way you roll in the mud after I've spent hours removing that crud. I hate how sometimes you stomp and snort when there's nothing to fear of any sort. I hate the way you perfectly strike my eye when you flip your tail. I hate that I have to clean all the parts that let me know you are male.
Amen.
I hate that the judge didn't look your way. Whatever, you're handsome. That's all I'll say. I hate that sometimes people don't understand. A horse is not just a horse. You're a friend, and I'm your biggest fan. I hate that I love you so very much. I constantly worry about everything, even your lunch. So cute.
And Glenn, you can play your sounder right after this. It totally reminded me of the movie 10 Things I Hate About You. And then there's a little gif of it at the end. But mostly, I hate the way I don't hate you. Not even close. Not even a little bit. Not even at all.
So good.
Play it again, Glenn.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
You can.
I love the fact that in the line it says, I hate the way you poop all day. I hate the price of all that hay. Chad actually was like, if we feed them less hay, will they poop less? Valid question, hon. Valid question.
Hey, before you go, Leslie, we got to ask you. We need a tiebreaker here. Eventing Nation posted a thing about the dog running underneath the horse's leg, and you know, should dogs be allowed at horse shows? Brought up that old question again. So
yeah,
we asked the same thing on our Facebook page this morning. Got a ton of response, and Jamie and I, disagree a little bit. I'm kind of all for, you know, eliminating dogs at horse shows. And she said, well, half the competitors won't show up. So she's for competitors allowed to have dogs, but not the spectators. So what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Man, that's tough. I mean, I think that you can't take dogs away from horse people. I think you're right. They might not show up.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you draw the line, you know, as far as being like spectators can't bring their dogs, but, you know, competitors can. I don't know. I mean, maybe at big events, maybe, you know, this
All right,
is
let's
a take problem. That,
let's take Rolex. Should anybody be allowed to have a dog at Rolex?
Man, I love dogs at Rolex. It's like my favorite part. Everybody's got their dogs. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, like, didn't one go after Buck Davidson's horse?
Little
terrier got... Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, that is definitely the risk.
You know, if you had
responsible
owners, it's one thing. But you don't. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you control that? Now, at the World Equestrian Games in Lexington, no dogs were allowed, spectators, riders, anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, a lot of 500,000 people showed up. So I don't know.
Yeah. That is
so
tough.
Basically, Leslie, you have no opinion and you're not helpful at all.
Basically.
Thanks. Awesome.
Well, okay. So I got something for you guys. Change the subject here a little bit. But I thought it'd be fun to ask you both and see how well-read both of you are. And because Harris Polls did a poll on the top 10 books, period, that in the United States that people have read. These are their favorites. So I want to see if you guys have read any of these top 10s on the list, okay? So,
okay.
All right, The Great Gatsby.
Yes. One of my favorite books.
Oh, well, there you go, both of you. You loved the movie, too, didn't you, Jamie, because your boyfriend was in it.
Yes. Leo.
Leo. The Grapes of Wrath.
You know, I've read almost every Stoneback book, but I don't remember reading that one. You, Leslie?
I definitely read that, like, in school, for sure. It was depressing, right? That was a real depressing one.
Yeah.
Not a favorite. Not The Great Gatsby.
No. Little Women.
I wasn't a Little Women kind of person, no.
The Catcher in the Rye.
I loved Catcher in the Rye.
If she's got one up on you there, Jamie.
Like the seminal, like, coming-of-age book.
Yeah.
Can't believe these are the top 10 books in America. Moby Dick is still on that list, believe it or not.
I don't think I've ever tackled Moby Dick. God, I'm feeling like I should read some. I started strong, and now I've got nothing.
Moby Dick is supposed to be actually amazing. And I actually have recently tried to get into it, but I just can't quite make it past the beginning. But it's supposed to be great.
I don't know why these are top 10. To Kill a Mockingbird.
I
wish I had crickets right now. Oh, you did read it. Okay.
Yep.
You're lying. You can read all these.
All right. Here is one that I tried, could not get through. Jennifer loved them. She hates the movies, but she loved the books, and I just couldn't get through either one. They just bored the hell out of me. The Lord of the Rings series. Oh, I just couldn't do it.
No.
Yes, I've read them. I have. I've read one.
Did you like the movies? Did you watch the movies?
I've seen all the movies, but it really made it easier to understand because a lot of times you're like, okay, wait, who was that again? What's that thing? Where are they?
The movies should have been about half that length. They were the longest damn movies in history.
They were long damn books, okay?
Okay. Just take the darn ring and throw it in the ocean or something. I don't care. I got halfway through the movie and was like, oh, man. Jennifer finished it. Harry Potter, number 3, Harry Potter series. Did you read the books, though?
Yep, every one of them.
You did?
I've not read all of the books.
You know what this is proving, Leslie? Leslie, it's
What's
proving
that
you actually read the classic literature, and I read the kids' crap. Harry Potter, you read Catcher in the Rye. I read Harry Potter.
I was an English major. At some point, I guess I'll read, you know. You'll be tested on this.
Great for Wrath and read it today. It's so chipper.
You know, I've read tons of Steinbeck. I love John Steinbeck. I just haven't read that one. I'm going to have to read The Grapes of Wrath. I'm going to put Catcher in the Rye and Grapes of Wrath. I'm writing down.
Okay,
go ahead.
So Harry Potter. Now, I've seen all the Harry Potter movies, never read the books. Gone with the Wind is number 2.
Yes. Love.
No, I haven't. I have not read it.
Okay. Did you ever watch the movie?
Yes.
Now, have you watched the movie recently? Because I watched it as a kid, and I got a lot more out of it as an adult. And I read the book as an adult voluntarily. You definitely get a lot more out of it as an adult.
Huh.
Len, you should watch it. I'm a good Southern girl. I'm from Georgia. I'm from Atlanta. They burned my city. I had to watch it.
If it's any consolation, I have not read any of these books.
Are you serious?
None of them. No. None of them. So.
What's the number one?
Guess.
Number one. It's the Bible.
Yep, and number one for like 100 years. So... number one was the Bible. So, I've read a little bit of the Bible, but I can't say I read the whole book. So I have read none of the top 10.
Leslie, have you read the Bible?
The Bible? Like the entire...
For cover to cover?
Like who's read the entire Bible?
Do you know, when I was in high school, somebody challenged me to read it, and I seriously couldn't get through page 6. Like, it was ridiculous. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so Abraham begat the... I'm like, what are they talking about? This isn't even literature. This is, lineage.
I really like Revelation. That's up my alley. I'm like, yeah. I think I've read that multiple times just because it's, pretty
because
exciting.
Because they're talking about horses. You're a horse girl. Right. You're a horse girl, and they talk about horses.
Yeah, the fact that the horses were coming to destroy her, well, that's part
of the
All right. Well, that was fun. I just wanted to see. So basically, Leslie wins. Jamie is sort of well-read, and I'm not read at all. That's what it comes to. Not read anything.
At least I haven't tried to read Moby Dick for fun.
Why weren't there any Robert Ludlum books on there? I would have read them all. There's, you know, I do read books, just not anything that's a classic, apparently.
Wait a second. Was there no Nicholas Sparks book on that list? Oh,
no,
God.
And the 50 Shades of Grey wasn't on there either. So.
Not a classic yet.
Yeah.
Have you read that?
I love it.
Anybody read 50 Shades of Grey? Honestly?
I haven't.
No. Sorry.
If anybody here would have, I thought it would have been Leslie. I would have put Leslie.
Nope.
Leslie, that's for next week. You have to give us a book review next week on the 50 Shades of Grey. And then explain to your husband why you're reading it.
It's probably not something that you can put on the air. I like the part where blah, blah, blah.
Hang on, we lost her. Leslie, thank you so much for being on the show, and we will talk to you again next week.
Have a great week. Okay. Horsenation.com.
Oh, well, that was fun. Tomorrow morning we have the CHA, Certified Horsemanship Association, will be with us tomorrow morning. We'll learn talk more about training horses. So that's always a favorite episode of everybody's. We'll be back. Jamie will be back Wednesday for the 1,000th episode.
Wow.
How convenient that was that it fell on a Wednesday. The 1,000th episode, Bo from Back on Track, who, by the way, has been title sponsor of the Wednesdays since day one. The first Wednesday we did a show, he was here. And he's going to join us for a couple minutes so we can thank him. We of course, have Jessica Phoenix coming on from Canada. We have Gina Miles coming on from the United States for the great celebrity trivia battle. And we also have one of our other regular guests, Mary Miller Jordan, who has been on with us a number of times. So it's going to be terrific Horsewomen Day, with the exception of Bo and I.
And you know that I do, because it's the men with the accent thing. You know I have a huge crush on Bo. So
I know.
I'm going to be nervous. I didn't know he was coming on. I'm not prepared.
Yeah. So Bo will be here, and we should have a lot of fun on the 1,000th episode on Wednesday. We look forward to all of you being here with us as well. That's it for today, Jamie. We'll see you on Wednesday.
All right, everybody. Spay, neuter, geld. Have a great day.
Read a book.
I'm going to go read a book or two. You have to read 10.